consent then. The Senate Judiciary Budget Division will come to order. Today is Thursday, March 15th in the year 2007, and today we're going to look at the Judiciary Budget Omnibus Bill. So I'd like to start out with the indication that I really want to thank both Chris Turner and Ken Bacchus for their efforts in preparing these documents and putting up with a variety of people, and I think it's really a great deal. We're looking about where we are and where we're going on this bill. I want you to know that the division here had a target of $65 million over base. We're looking at a situation where the governor had about 54 on the same time, so we greatly exceeded the governor. We started out looking at various elements in the bill, and the first part we dealt with was the salary and compensation, and as you see by looking at the documents that we have taken and placed a 3.25% increase for both years of the biennium for all employees under this umbrella. The total amounts to 22.1 million. Having done that, then we looked at the issue with the district courts and with various funding that dealt with the issues on the legal mandated services, guardian ad litem, interpreter, psychological service, informa pauperis, and so forth, that there was approximately 8.3 million. Looking at the judges, the request had been for 9 judgeships. We have taken and added seven out of that. And then going down in that same general area, there's a variety of problem-solving courts. We're going to get into that and have Chris explain these in greater detail, and then you'll have an opportunity to take this in play. We looked at the funding for the Court of Appeals and the requested 3-judge panel, and we have funded that. We took the Board of Public Defense, 16.5 million, and that calls the 1.1 million. And the appellate operation addressing the shortfall of the public defenders at 6.4 million, increased caseload 6.7 million, part-time public defender and data entry at 1 million, public defense corporation at 399,000, and problem-solving courts at 7.24. Civil legal services were allocated $3 million out of the $4 million that was requested. Tax court received $111,000 to maintain existing funds, which complies with the governor has proposed. The Uniform Law Commission received the same as the governor, and in addition to that, we have an item on the end there that are you going to cover that with the Hennepin County part? In any event, I want to ask Chris Turner to proceed with the spreadsheets and take it from there.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, members. So I'll be repeating much of what you just said.
Well,
I'll go through the bill and the spreadsheet at the same time. Sections 1 and 2 of the bill are the summary of appropriations by fund and the definition of fiscal year. It's used for every appropriations bill.
Can we move to
Section 3 of the bill? Oh, excuse me, yes. Subdivision 2 also has
the provision of each court or board
in our budget receives a 3.25% annual salary increase calculated on their salary base. It's on line 2.1 to 2.5. If we move to the Supreme Court, we have, I'm working off the spreadsheet now. We have Supreme Court base plus $1.8 million in the compensation adjustment for a total of 61.5 to the Supreme Court, the Supreme Court operations. Civil Legal Services, which is funded under the court, got a $3 million increase. Their total funding is now 27.6 for the biennium. Court of Appeals, they received its 3.25% compensation increase at $704,000. And then the chair recommends that the state create a new three-judge appeals panel and fund other caseload increase initiatives, including a staff lawyer and law clerks, for a total appeals court appropriation of $20.2 million. Then we get to the district court. The governor had recommended originally $28 million in total for the district court in just one line. Then in his supplemental budget, he recommended an additional 12. I've included it all here under the district courts. However, the governor's rec was salted throughout the three courts. The majority, of course, went to the district courts. What the chair recommends is the 3.25% compensation adjustment of $15 million, and then the full funding of the state-mandated services, $2,889,000 for guardian ad litems, $1,383,000 for interpreter services, $3,682,000 for psychological services, and $356,000 for informed apocryphal services. Then the court requested 9 new district court judges, and the chair recommends 7 new judges. And I passed out this map for everybody showing where the governor requested the judges and where the chair recommends. The chair recommends 1 in District 1, 1 in District 3, 1 in District 7, 2 in District 9, and 2 in District 10. It's the chair's recommendation to maintain current drug courts at a cost of $3.9 million and to increase a new appropriation for problem-solving courts, of whether they be drug courts or mental health courts. And that appropriation is approximately $1.3 million. And the chair recommends $622,000 for a virtual self-help center for pro se litigants. As for the tax court, which is Section 6 in the bill, the chair concurs with the governor's recommendation that of $111,000 to maintain existing tax court functions, and then increases the governor's salary recommendation, which was calculated at 2%, to the 3.25 that is universal throughout the bill. Uniform Laws Commission, the chair concurs with the governor that should pay our dues. Board of Judicial Standards, the chair concurs with the governor, although we broke it out differently. We've got a restoration of their base at $137,000. And then there's a creation in the bill of an investigative and hearing costs account, which does not cancel. If it's not used, it carries forward into the next biennium. And then the compensation adjustment. Then we move to the Public Defense Board. We have a compensation adjustment of 3.25%. And then we got into what was listed in the budget as public defender viability, and it was a rather large line, and we broke it out fairly prescriptive here. First, public defender appellate operation, the request was for $1,160,000. The chair concurred with that. The public defender shortfall, which is comprised it's a series of things that have been accumulating for years under the public defender. There's tail problems, health increases, et cetera, and we funded that fully, $6,463,000. And for district public defense caseload increase, I believe that's, okay, it's $6,775,000 for the biennium. I believe that's 30 lawyers and
34 new lawyers
and 11 support staff. Mm-hmm. Then $724,000 for the public defender for their work in drug and problem-solving courts. Part-time public defender data entry, $1,053,000 for data entry clerks. And then public defense corporations, $399,000 for the biennial. For a total public defense biennial appropriation of $144,560. And then the final item is the Hennepin County forfeited proceeds or bail proceeds. That's Section 11 in the bill. That restores an unintentional statutory repealer made in the 2006 crime bill that credits abandoned bail to the county law library and municipalities and subdivisions of Hennepin County. And the section creates a general fund revenue offset of $240,000 a year, and that is listed on line 78. That, Mr. Chairman, is the bill.
Evers, questions? Your call.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know if you're ready for amendments. I do have one amendment I'd like to propose, but just a general comment that I think, Chairman, you've done obviously a good job reporting with what you had. Sitting at this table, obviously we have a couple of other division chairs, Senator Higgins, Senator Betzold. And so I think several of us are quite familiar with the problems we've had with targets. I know in setting the target for this division, I attempted to take into account what has become some real difficulties in the court systems in the state, as well as in particular the public defender system. And I know, Mr. Chairman, what you're presenting to us is not what you would want to present to us in a perfect world, which is through no fault of your own. And it's not my purpose sitting here this noon to re-argue the target settings or monies available, but I think Senator Higgins and Senator Bessel are going through some of the same problems in their division. We simply don't have enough money to do a decent job for what needs to be done in the state of Minnesota. And on the Senate side, obviously, we'll make the attempt to make things more equitable, but it's far from a perfect world. But I think given what you've had to work with, we obviously have done better for this important part of the state budget than the governor has. And I'll bet at the end of the day your bill will be a stronger bill than the House bill.
Thank you, Senator Cohen. I
made an effort to provide as much fairness as I can on the distribution of the funds that we have. And I do think that the issues where we provided additional judges and those offices will well serve the state. And I ask you to hold your proposed amendment until everyone else has a chance to comment or question or so forth. Before we start out with any amendments, I'd like to indicate that the amendments are fine if you can provide the money that is going to pay for that. So with that, why, Senator Cohen?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I do have the A1 amendment, which doesn't cost any money. And if I could have that distributed. And Mr. Chairman, let me offer a couple of comments about this amendment. This is similar to language we've had in the past that, at least insofar as judicial pay is concerned, which is obviously one of the compensation areas dealt with by the State Compensation Council, this allows for a parallel with any awards made for state employees in both this biennium and for the out years for the next biennium. So, again, it's language that we've had previously in – we haven't had a separate bill like this before. It's similar to language that we've had in other judiciary section of other finance bills, whether it be my State Department's bill in 2001, the Division of Senator Ranum 2 years ago. So it's similar language. So in offering – so I'd move the amendment, Mr. Chairman, but I do want to offer a comment. And having suggested that I think – you've done a great job, as you know. I have one small concern with the bill, and I might want to talk to you about this at some future date between now and the full committee. I realize it's difficult to look at judicial salaries and segregate them from other salaries. And you know, you can make an elitist argument relative to that. You know, I think the difficulties are not dissimilar from some of the fights we've had over the last several weeks in the Senate relative to legislative pay. It's something that can obviously be easily demagogued. But I got a note yesterday or the day before that Minnesota has now fallen to 28th on a per capita basis in the country in terms of judicial pay, and has fallen precipitously from 18th to 28th. And certainly, somebody wants to become a judge, it's kind of the same pitch we get. You know, you ran for the legislature, you knew what the salary was when you took the job. That logic, of course, or that comment led to its logical conclusion, would leave legislative pay at $100 a year, which I believe is what the pay was in 1859. If you continue to extrapolate that year after year with new sets of legislators being told that. And you hear the same thing relative to judges. You wanted to become a judge. You left whatever you were doing. You knew what the salary was. But if we're going to try to maintain a quality bench and have a bench that at some point is more than people just out of law school, judicial salaries, like salaries for state commissioners, like salaries for state legislators, have to be kept to some extent competitive with what the existing market is. I think in the Twin Cities, and again, it might be more of a Twin Cities argument, but I don't think so, there are now large law firms that are paying lawyers who've just finished law school, who've just taken the bar exam, and are now a first-year associate, granted the major law firms, but the salaries are about the same as what a judge makes. Certainly, if somebody is a senior partner at a large law firm, Twin Cities, or in the population centers of Minnesota, if they want to become a judge, there's no question they're going to take a significant pay cut to do so. I'm not sure somebody in that position, you know, will want to become a trial court judge. But if we're going to try to get a broad cross-section of lawyers applying for judgeships, you know, lawyers who are county attorneys, public defenders, and lawyers who are in private practice, in at the very least mid-sized firms, if not the large firms, we have to understand what the market is. And if we're going to have a diverse judiciary, not just in terms of demographics, but in terms of legal background, skill, and experience, we have to have salaries at every level. I'm not suggesting we have salaries at a level of $250,000 a year or anything like that, but we need to make sure that increases for judges are maintained. And, Mr. Chairman, you've done that to a great extent. I'm not quite sure, as you know, I think it's quite perfect. I want to make that that small speech. I want to continue this conversation between now and next week. This amendment, however, deals with the money that's in the bill right now. And like I said,
Thank you, Senator Cohen. I'm going to vote against that amendment. I think that that is not fair to all state employees. That this, if you're going to give us more money, I'd be happy to take care of that. If you're looking at the funding of everyone else at this pay level, I think that has to be the same.
Mr. Chairman, you misunderstand me. Maybe I shouldn't have given my little speech. But the amendment doesn't change the money in the bill. The amendment only deals with the salaries that you've established in your spreadsheet. And the tails. So it doesn't change anything that you have in the bill. It just parallels the judicial salaries to any compensation awarded for state employees. I'm not sure what kind of bargaining units exist for. I mean, there aren't bargaining units for law clerks. But for any bargaining unit, it only parallels that. So it doesn't increase the salaries for the judges. So maybe I'm doing a little bit of mixing speeches, but the amendment is not in any way the additional salary for a judge. Other than what you said.
Panel members?
I think Mr. Bacchus can. I don't know if Mr. Turner wants to comment on it, but this was not meant to increase the salaries that were suggested for the judiciary.
Mr. Chairman, that's my understanding of the amendment. It has tails implications, but it does not affect the biennium that we're funding here.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So this basically deals with an automatic increase like the union gets from this budget forward. Correct?
Yeah.
Yes. The next budget. Not affecting the numbers that we're talking about today.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ingebrigtsen, yes, that's what I'm trying to offer. Mm-hmm. So, Mr. Chairman, I hope that's a little bit of comfort. Like I said, I probably shouldn't have confused things with my long speech. All right, I've learned my lesson. No more speeches.
There we go. Members, is there anyone that wants to speak on this?
If I could just get maybe a little history as to how the judges' increases have been. They've been coming every biennium, just like in the past. Is that how it's been? Maybe Senator Cohen would tell me how that's gone on in the past 5-6 years.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ingebrigtsen, I'd rather have somebody from the court give you the exact history. Sometimes there have been increases, sometimes there have not been. It's like the state employees. We had a major court package in 2001, and I believe that was the first pay increase, I want to say, in several years. So it's been by fits and starts like many other compensation problems we have in state service. Mr. Chairman, Senator Ingebrigtsen, that's a general answer if you want the particulars.
No, I'm good with that. Thanks. I understand that. Thanks.
Well, historically, we've had a variety of things. I suspect that what we should be looking at more than anything else is how should this funding go, and to kind of make some decisions based on things that we're not looking at now, like what's the national average and things that relate to the actual salary. And apparently we never were able to get this down where it fits in a proper slot based on certain criteria. Further discussion? I'll certainly open it up if you want to tell me any historical things.
If somebody wants me to answer a question, I'll be glad to do so.
All right.
Further discussion? Hearing none on the Senator Cohen A1 amendment. All those in favor indicate by aye.
Aye.
Contrary, nay. Nay. Motion prevails. Are there any additional amendments? Are there any questions by anyone in the audience? Hearing none.
Mr. Chair, I'll move that SCS 5494-1 as amended be made into our committee bill and sent off to Big Finance, and whatever that thing is.
No,
do we have to start with the spreadsheet?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
The spreadsheet,
Mr. Chair, I move that we adopt the spreadsheet. And it will be the gist of it.
Sarah Bessel, why don't you make the motion?
I believe the motion before us is to adopt the judicial spreadsheet into the bill. I guess that's the motion before us, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
That motion, I guess, is made by Senator Higgins.
All right. All those in favor indicate by aye.
Aye.
Contrary, nay. Motion prevails.
Hey, Mr. Chair, it's my understanding that the desire is that the a bill be introduced by you that will then be referred to the Committee on Finance. So I will move that the SCS 5494-1, the draft as amended, be prepared as a bill for introduction.
Heard that.
Go for it.
Discussion on the motion. Hearing none, all those in favor indicate by aye.
Aye.
Contrary, nay. Motion prevails.
Good
Thank you. Having no further